Our present meditation is on faith in the Mass, basis of the consecrated life. As we began this retreat, we noted there are three fundamental truths of our faith on which consecrated life is based. First, belief in the divinity of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the Holy Eucharist. And then thirdly, faith in the papal primacy. Our meditations today will be all on the Eucharist. We have seen at length how Jesus, the Son of God, who became the Son of Mary, is the first and most fundamental foundation of our Christian lives, and with emphasis of our consecrated lives. Nothing makes sense in religious life without faith in Christ's divinity. Either the man whose life we are to follow is God in human form, or we are fools. Now, we wish to reflect on how we are to follow this God who became man and who lived a humanly impossible life. And that word is humanly impossible. That is the meaning of grace. Not to know that is not to know the ABCs of Christianity. Our present Holy Father, with a clarity never before so illuminating in distinguishing the Holy Eucharist as a sacrament indeed, but a sacrament three times over, as a sacrament sacrifice, as a sacrament communion, and a sacrament presence. And all three are sacraments. In other words, they confer the grace which they signify. The Latin term, ex opere operato, I like the English synonym, infallibly. Just because a Mass is offered, grace is communicated. Just because communion is received, grace is infallibly received. Just because Christ is present in the Eucharist, his presence is, as we shall see at length, an infallible emanation of grace. Our present concentration is on the Eucharist as the sacrament of grace. As I've said more than once, we can never hear the same truths too often. In the economy of salvation, there is no such thing as repetition. What we call humanly repetition is the re-enlightenment of the mind, the re-inspiration of the will. What humanly speaking we repeat is God's way of then conferring light for the mind and strength for the will that would not be conferred unless, as we casually say, a mystery of our faith is repeated. Our first question is, how is the Mass a sacrifice? As we go back to the Old Testament, sacrifices were, you might say, the mainstay of the Jewish religion. And if you wish to dramatize how the religion of the chosen people was a sacrifice, the father of the chosen people was ordered by Yahweh. Talk about impressing him and Abraham's followers with sacrifice. He was told by Yahweh. No mistake on Abraham's part. No poetry here. He was told to sacrifice his son Isaac. And as we know, he was ready to do it. And remember Isaac asking his father, Dad, in plain Hebrew, we've got everything, but where is the sacrifice? Remember Abraham's answer, the Lord will provide. And the Lord did provide. Notice, it was the future tense, beyond what Abraham at that moment realized. But as we begin our meditation of the sacrifice of the Mass, let's be very, very, very clear. Sacrifice is the willingness, the readiness to offer what God wants. As we know, God chose one class of the Hebrew people to be the divinely authorized priests of the old law, the descendants of Aaron. Sacrifice, as I've told my students over the years in teaching comparative religion, sacrifice is at the heart of every religion. Without sacrifice, what people call religion is a mere philosophy. With the incarnation, the sacrifices, plural, of the old law were replaced, were fulfilled by the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary. His blood was the precious blood by which the human race was redeemed. Precious, preciosus in Latin, comes from the noun prex, price. The price for the redemption of the world was the shedding of Christ's blood on Calvary. Now, our Catholic faith. What Jesus did on Calvary was to continue in other words, Christ wanted to continue sacrificing himself until the end of time. I've spoken to too many Protestants. I've taught, as I keep repeating, in 6 of the divinity schools. And I never tire telling them, and they never fired me. I taught them Simon Pure Catholicism. As I know, I was hired, and my Jesuit superiors were paid, and paid handsomely, because I love Protestants. As I think I've said, the 2 first boarders that my mother took to help support her and myself while she also worked were 2 Lutheran girls, Judith and Susan. Well, they were Protestants. They never tried to Protestantize. From the age of 1 to the age of 16, the boy of the woman who took them in as boarders. But I learned a lot about Protestantism. They, as we know, Protestants, not only do not believe in the Mass. One of the glories of the Society of Jesus is the number of martyrs we have, of members of our society killed while offering Mass during the 16th century. How dare you? The Protestant theologians write, Calvin and the rest of them, how dare you claim that Christ is now offering himself in the Mass? He offered himself once. He died on Calvary. We say, thanks for the information. Of course, Jesus died on Calvary. Of course, he redeemed the world. But, and sometimes we need big words. We don't have simpler ones. objectively, the world was redeemed by Christ's death on Calvary. But subjectively, we receive and the principal source of our grace that Christ won on Calvary is. His, what verb shall we use? His reenacting the sacrifice of Calvary in every sacrifice of the Mass. In other words, there's all the difference of the world between gaining the graces which a sinful world needs to reach heaven and giving the graces which Christ gained on Calvary. It is the same identical Jesus. No offering the sacrifice of the Mass as he offered on Calvary. And that is why the real presence, deep, clear, strong faith in the real presence is indispensable. Even begin to understand the sacrament of the Mass. And as we know, the core, the center of Christ's real presence is his having a real, free, voluntary human will. That I never tire repeating is the main reason why God became man, to have a human will. And hear it. That's the main reason why God, in creating us, gave us a free human will. And how well I know the deepest, I keep repeating, the deepest mystery of our faith is the Trinity in God. But the second deepest mystery of our faith is liberty in man. How is our liberty a mystery? It is a mystery. You don't explain this. 1,000 books will not explain in the sense of enabling us to comprehend what it means for us to have a free will. Our freedom is a mystery because you don't explain this. You believe it. God wants us to use our freedom as a condition for what he, the Almighty, sets down as the means by which we will reach our destiny. Talk about freedom being a mystery. We, Lord, what are we saying? We, who until we were conceived, were absolutely nothing. Even to pronounce the word nothing has at least some semblance of connotation. Well, we were something. Even zero is too much. We just were not. And yet, these were nots. We now exist. Thanks to the almighty creation of us by God, using his omnipotence. We, I repeat, you don't explain this. You either believe it or you don't. We are free to say no to God. Martin Luther broke with the Catholic Church in 1517. In 3 years, he was condemned as a heretic, and among the five principal errors condemned by Pope Leo X in 1520 was Martin Luther's denial of human freedom. That is why our American prisons are filled to overflowing . We are not shaped. Our conduct is not determined by our heredity, our education, our character is determined by our free will. Of course, with the help of divine grace. So much for part one. God became a true man with a real free will, and in every sacrifice of the Mass, God, incarnate, uses his free will and chooses to offer himself to his Heavenly Father. Well, let's be clear. Unlike Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, where only his own one human free will of the incarnate God offered himself to his Heavenly Father. In the Mass, it is his free will, because he is really present as two men in every Mass, but he offers his own free will along with our free will. Unlike Calvary, the Mass is both Christ's sacrifice and ours. That's part one. Part two. What graces does Christ confer? And let's be again clear. What graces does Christ confer on the whole human race in every Mass which he offers? They are the grace or the mountain of graces that the world needs of practicing self-sacrificing charity. Self-sacrificing love of self in the love of God and manifested, as our faith tells us, by our love of others. That's why God puts other people into our lives. We might live lives of sacrifice. Thank God for the difficult people in our lives. Thank God for the well, not so nice people in our lives. Thank God for the people, as I think I've told you, who won't even talk to us when we talk to them, like my Jesuit confrere, 4 years at Georgetown University, never spoke a word to me. And the reason was obvious. He publishes books, so did this sinner, Father Harden, publish books. I mean it. I would rather die than have published one of his books. Living in the same community, but in two different worlds. What then are the principal graces that the sacrament of the Mass confers? They are the graces of self-sacrifice. What a difference between the sacrifices of the old law. Always things outside of the sacrificer. Oh, the New Testament is new. Believe me, it is very new. The New Testament is surely a religion of sacrifice, but the sacrifice of self. As we've been saved, we have a free will for this main purpose, to surrender ourselves in adoring love or loving adoration of God. Over the years, I'm sure I've said this before, one of my favorite sentences: the capacity of the human mind to forget is infinite, limitless. I've taught too many students too many things. The day after I've taught them, maybe one student in class thinks I said what I said out loud without a magnifier. Please do not forget the four essential elements to the definition of sacrifice. Sacrifice is the voluntary, it is the voluntary surrender. First quality, voluntary. Second, surrender of something precious. Precious is the third essential part of sacrifice to God. Voluntary surrender, precious to God. You don't have to take a course in philosophy. You don't have to have a big vocabulary. You don't even have to know how to spell either surrender or sacrifice. I've watched children how self-willed they are. Hear it. We are born. Oh no. We are conceived with a self-will. As mothers who have had several children tell me, "Father, the baby I'm carrying in my womb, I'm afraid." Whatever mother experiences, she knows. Before the baby is born, what a self-will this child will have. What then among the graces that the sacraments confer, and every sacrament has its own distinctive graces, and in the Eucharist as sacrament, there are three levels or forms, if you wish, of the Eucharist as sacrament. And the first of these forms is the Eucharist as the sacrament of sacrifice. So what else would you expect? The distinctive grace make it very plural, because we need these graces plural constantly. Are the graces of self-surrender. In other words, letting go, giving up, giving in. Giving in to whom? To God. Giving up to whom? To God. Letting go. Letting go of our freedom to the free will of God. There's one truth I've stressed in teaching theology. God has a free will. God chooses. And that is why we should thank God. Lord, thanks for choosing to make me, and make me instead of a bird or a puppy, or pardon me, a bedbug. And God was free. No bedbug would exist in the world except for the free will of God. And he's given us this freedom to use. I repeat, we are dealing with mystery. Scratching on granite. We do not comprehend, but we are to grow in our understanding. we have a free will. In order to surrender this free will of ours to the mysterious, we have to keep adding loving will of God. And the harder the things we have to surrender, hear it, the more God loves us. Please. Are you sure? I am infallibly sure. How consequently we need the graces to keep surrendering our wills to the unfathomable will of God. The subject we are speaking on is a 2-semester course in theology. I'm watching the clock to make sure I don't go over 60 minutes and trusting in your patience. But now we come in. God gives the graces, but we must be both disposed to receive the graces, and once received, we must cooperate with the graces that Jesus, by sacrificing himself in the Mass, gives us. In other words, the measure, the amount of the graces we receive depends always on God, but also on us, our faith in God, our faith in God being behind and beneath and within everything that we mistakenly say happens in our lives. Nothing ever happens. Nothing. Everything is part of the mysterious providence of God. The graces we receive depend on our readiness to cooperate with the grace of God. And, as we know, I will be more ready to cooperate with God's grace tomorrow if I've been faithful in cooperating with His graces today. However, it is not only our disposition of soul, because it is also how disposed we are to cooperate with the graces that we receive. Hope I'll be clear. Our readiness to cooperate with God's grace is surely one of the measures by which God determines how much grace we'll receive from every Mass offered throughout the world. But once we receive the grace, and even cooperate with that grace, there is still another mysterious norm of how fruitful that grace will be, and hear it. Fruitfulness of grace depends on two wills, on the will of God in giving us the grace, and on our wills in cooperating with that grace. We can cooperate We can cooperate with a great big giant sea. Cooperate. As I'm sure you know, every English word beginning with a C-O is, well, the abbreviation for the Latin cum, which is with. In other words, and what a statement, God's grace is ineffective unless we cooperate, and the preposition is with that grace. Our withness, our freedom is the measure not only of cooperating in the first place, but the more withness, the more our wills, shall I say, contribute, give to the grace that we receive, the more merit we gain before God. There are, with apologies for numbering everything in sight, one of the limitations of my own human nature, I count everything, including the number of aspirations I say each day. Five would be called determinants of merit. How much we gain from cooperating with the graces we receive here, the graces of self-surrender. First determinant, our state of grace. The more deeply the Holy Trinity dwells in us, which means the more sanctifying grace we have, the more merit we receive from every grace with which we cooperate. Secondly, our love of Jesus Christ. The more lovingly, the more generously we are living, the more every Mass gives us both more grace and more merit by cooperating with that grace. Thirdly, our imitation of Jesus Christ. The more sincerely we strive to be like Him, to be like Him, to be like Him, the more grace we gain by cooperating with the graces of the sacrifices of the Mass throughout the world confer on all of us. And let me say it, day and night. Fourth, our awareness of Christ's love for us, our minds realizing the price that God has paid for us by his first sacrifice on Calvary, which we may legitimately say he is repeating in every Mass. And that is why, read a Saint Paul of the Cross, read the short autobiography of a Saint Margaret Mary, a great devotee of the Holy Eucharist. Oh, how deeply aware she was of God's love for her and for us by Christ living a martyr's life and then dying a martyr's death. Finally, and this is another ocean of our faith, how much grace do we get by cooperating with the graces conferred by Christ through the sacrifice of the Mass? It depends on our willingness to sacrifice. And that is why this needs to be said, shouted from the mountaintops, and they're pretty high here. Our willingness to sacrifice depends on our readiness to not just endure, not just to suffer, but, and I use this verb deliberately, embrace the difficulties, the trials, the opposition, the resistance, and resisting within ourselves. Resistance to our self-love. Oh, how dearly, how deeply, how constantly we love ourselves. Now that is why what we casually call difficulties, trials, opposition, resistance, why God, in his wonderful mercy, provides us with these opportunities to, to do what? To sacrifice. Sacrifice what? Our sweet, loving, dearly beloved, self-will. I want to close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, you offer us daily with yourself in every Mass throughout the world, for this privilege of your offering us with yourself. We are deeply grateful. But we know that you give us through the Mass the light and strength to live lives of sacrifice. We beg you to increase our readiness to yield ourselves to your divine will, so that every Mass we participate may be a more abundant source of that grace which we most need in this life, to follow in your bloody footsteps on the way to Calvary, so we may join you in that blessed paradise where you are waiting to receive us in your divine embrace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.